And we are back. We are on the other side of the half hour. CJMQ. That was the Dropkick Murphys. As a little bit of an homage to them as they filled an empty Fenway with big-hearted sportsmanship over the weekend, raised some money for some COVID relief after the pandemic and the lockdowns started. Dropkick Murphys had to scratch their annual shows for St. Patrick's Day, so they made up for it with streaming up from Boston. It was a boisterous, audience-free concert given live from Fenway Park. They also had the boss, Bruce Springsteen, joining them on the big screen from his home studio. He beamed in to help them on a 2012 track of Rose Tattoo and his own anthem, American Land. So it was a big fundraiser again for the COVID-19 relief. So a huge congratulations and thank you. And that was a little bit of an homage to the Dropkick Murphys streaming out of Fenway that took place over the weekend. And now we need David Guetta. We need Sia. It is time for the Titanium Take of the Townships. Hit my man. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Fire away, ricochet, you take your aim. For today's Titanium Take of the Townships, we go right to the headlines, and it reads, David Guetta remixed MLK's I Have a Dream speech, and the results are not good. David Guetta is facing backlash for his tribute to George Floyd in a stunning attempt to remix MLK's legendary I Have a Dream speech in honor of the late George Floyd during a live concert over the weekend, and needless to say, the internet was not pleased. So you can find the results online. David Guetta mocked for tone-deaf Martin Luther King Jr. tribute by taking his landmark I Have a Dream speech and putting it to track music in a way to honor George Floyd. Ah, David, you should stick to your titanium takes and providing me with my lovely jazzy intro music. Don't ever try to remix Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, one of the greatest speeches in the history of the world. I'm going to play an excerpt of it because I can't even try to do it justice. I'm going to play what I can of it. Anybody who wants to find it, it can be found on YouTube. But nice try, David Guetta. His heart was in the right place. It just came out very wrong. With all the turmoil, we'll just take the time just to hear a small snippet of the legendary speech of Martin Luther King Jr. And more relevant and prevalent than ever.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Fire away, ricochet, you take your aim. Fire away, you shoot me down, but I won't fall. I am titanium. You shoot me down, but I won't fall. I am titanium.
Welcome back to the show. To close out our fourth segment, we're going to talk a little UFC. We're going to talk a little WWE, where it's fight night. It's a brand new segment here. No flips, just Chris. Yeah. With a very special in-studio guest, Chris Smith.
Saturday night from the Apex Center. It's the UFCs basically have this really good compound to train. I believe they filmed The Ultimate Fighter there as well when the show aired numerous years ago. They're thinking of bringing it back, but I highly doubt they will with their new contender series. That seems to be the new Ultimate Fighter.
Is that the one where the coach ripped the door off the hinges
Yeah, it was Rampage Jackson. He punched a hole through the door. That's happened more than once, though. It's happened quite a bit.
I heard on a podcast that they were saying that once the UFC got into The Ultimate Fighter and it became a reality TV show, that's when the popularity really, really spiked.
Well, the first fight, that's where it was Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner won. People were basically calling their friends, say, hey, look, tune into this. This stuff is awesome. Because the UFC financed the whole first season. The Fertitta said, look, we'll pay for everything. It was like a $2 million project. And they hadn't even signed the second season until the fight was going on. They didn't know they even were going to have an Ultimate Fighter 2 until like that day. Because Spike's like, we'll finance it. This worked really well. We'll keep going with it. Because UFC financed the whole thing. It was either this or bust. They needed to make new stars and put it on TV.
It's always about a TV deal, right?
Yep.
Once you get that TV money, just like when Vince McMahon and WWE SmackDown on Friday nights signed that deal with Fox, and then the conspiracy theorists say that that's why the WWE was deemed an essential service and allowed to go on. And if you look, they were really the groundbreaker that allowed for the UFC to continue on, because the UFC essentially just took the WWE blueprint, what they did for WrestleMania, with the ring and the competitors and probably the testing even, and they just blew it up. And then the UFC is the only thing that is currently on schedule
for all their events. They haven't had to cancel anything.
Because even WWE had to cancel all their house shows, all their touring, everything. They had to go back to basics too and go to the performance center.
Yeah.
But the UFC, Dana White was right. He's the only sport that is staying up on schedule.
NASCAR. NASCAR is close, but they've had to cancel some due to rain and a few things.
They've had to go they just had a race a week apart. Brad Keselowski just won back-to-back. We covered that in our first and 10 segment. But again, it was a lot of crashes, and some are getting, it's rain shortened. It's weather's going to become a factor in there. But UFC is the only thing that stayed on schedule. Once they get through UFC 250, then...
There's UFC every Saturday, I think, for the whole month of June.
But because the fighters, they don't fight, it's 3 months apart. So whether they just shorten...
Well, they can quarantine, training, it's not so bad.
Right, the nature of the beast. So we'll get to UFC Fight Night. What did you think about... we'll get to Bones Jones as well. We're going to talk... John Bones Jones is making a lot of news. But what did you think about the Burns fight against Burns Woodley? We'll cover that quickly.
Not really sure if that was a fight, because Burns demolished him.
Where was Tyron Woodley? Because he
was first in the rankings. Burns is number 6. And the scorecard was 50-45 twice and then 50-44, meaning one judge gave Burns a 10-8 round, which means he throttled him. Basically, the first round, Tyron Woodley landed 2 out of 8 of his punches, and Burns landed 25 of 34, rocked him, and almost submitted him.
So was like, I learned a lot about the way the scorecard works. So that was like a textbook 10-8 round. Right?
There's zero offense from Woodley. He just absorbed punishment the entire 5 minutes.
And then you think about, you have a couple of rounds like that. So in the third round, Woodley needs to come out, and he's the number one ranked fighter in his division. He's trying to get back to get another title shot. And instead, he spends most of the round pinned up against a cage.
And it looked like he didn't want to be in there anymore.
Zero urgency.
Nope.
And, I mean, Burns just pretty much, Gilbert Burns controlled the whole fight, basically.
He steamrolled him.
From start to finish.
Even in the fifth, you usually know when you're winning or you're losing, especially in that manner, and he didn't come out with any sense of urgency, didn't throw big punches, didn't go for broke, he just laid an egg.
So that's the welterweight division. Now, this is going to move Burns up the ladder.
Yeah, they're talking either Burns versus Kamaru Usman, maybe Jorge Masvidal.
Dana White refuses to talk about anything in the future, which is smart. He's kind of using it as like, hey, we're not talking long term. He's just trying to get through these cards before he looks at it. But then Woodley's pretty much done, right? He's going to...
I think he should retire before he just gets smashed into the ground in one round. If your heart's not in it, that's not the sport. You mess around with that.
And he's 37. That's
38.
38? That's ancient for a UFC fighter.
See, GSP did it the right way. He retired on top. I think he was 36 when he fought Bisping.
He's a beauty. UFC Hall of Famer now. We covered that
a couple weeks ago. He's the GOAT.
Pound for pound, he's in every argument.
He's the Wayne Gretzky of hockey.
Beautiful. And a good Montreal boy. Speaking of Canadian UFC fighters, let's jump to Felicia Spencer, who's taking her shot at the gold at two division champion Amanda Nunes.
Yep.
And she says she wants to shock the world as she's going for the featherweight title in the main event of UFC 250.
Ugh.
This takes place on Saturday, June 6th. So what are the chances are we giving this young Montreal-born UFC fighter at Shocking the World.
The odds are really not heavily in her favor. She's quite a significant underdog. The sport bet has her at a plus 490, which means...
Well, this is coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, so...
UFC for those for, you know, entertainment purposes only.
Plus 490 is quite it's a big underdog. That's not good.
And I talked about it earlier. You look at Nunez's resume. She's got Rousey. The Cyborg is on there. Even WWE former NXT champion Shayna Baszler.
That is
true. The Queen of Spades is on there.
Misha Tate, you name it. She's beat everybody.
Yeah. And that's a lot of gold. She's a double champion.
Yeah, she's the only one that I think has held on to both and is going to defend both, because this, is, I think, would be her first title defense at 145, which is the highest women's category out there. It's a tough division just because there's an extreme lack of depth. The only reason the UFC really created the division was to bring Cyborg in, because there's no way Cyborg could ever make 135 with her wanting to have kids eventually. She thought dropping to 135 would be just too hard on her body, especially wanting to have kids later on in her life. So it's a tough division. And Spencer's only lost to Cyborg. Spencer's only lost to Cyborg by decision. So, and Nunes absolutely demolished her in about a minute and 13 seconds. So
They're probably happy to see a big name like Nunes ready to fight, because, yeah. I mean, not to take
anything away. Most people
away.
Say this isn't a great main event, but it's not
bad. But, I mean, we haven't seen
bad.
A Conor McGregor.
No.
We haven't,
I don't think he'll fight without a crowd.
And what have you thought about the crowdless UFC?
I love it.
Right? You can
I
hear the
corners. I love it. I prefer it.
You don't make... It doesn't make much difference. So you're happy no artificial crowd noise?
That'd be weird. That'd be strange. WWE, it works.
A little video game men in the crowd.
Yeah, no, I'm good with the no crowd. I actually like it a lot.
Well, so she's pretty much the biggest name that we've seen since the lockdowns happened. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen anybody.
Tony Ferguson's a big, well, sort of. They don't have a huge draw. Their only huge draw right now is Conor McGregor.
And they're aging,
and John Bones Jones.
Aging superstars. And we'll get to Bones Jones after.
Conor's still quite
young.
He's like 31.
He calls his own shots.
He gets
Mayweather.
He gets to pick and choose what he does.
But before we get to Bones Jones, and maybe we'll talk a little Conor McGregor, is there any other fight at UFC 250 on June 6th, live from Las Vegas, Nevada? Like this Cody
Garbrandt and Rafael Assuncao is the co-main event.
That's
Cody,
a bantamweight bout.
Yeah, Cody is a former champion. He's dropped three in a row. Two were to TJ Dillashaw in championship fights. He's been knocked out quite a bit recently. All three fights are lost by TKO. Rafael Assuncao is also on a losing streak. It's going to be a good fight. Cody's really fun to watch. I think he's going to win. I have him winning. I'm giving love to No Love, because No Love is his nickname. I think he's going to win a decision.
So they're both desperate and hungry.
Yeah.
And does he get a tattoo for every one of his losses?
I don't know.
On Cody, you really don't see much more than just...
Eat. No.
And there's another, what about these guys?
Alming, Sterling. These guys are all really good, but Sean O'Malley is the guy that the UFC really wants to strap a rocket to. And that's what they're giving him, an aging Wineland. I think Wineland is like 38 years old. So I think a win over like a veteran usually kind of pushes you up. So I can see they really like Sean O'Malley.
It's a lot of bantamweight. Bantamweight, three bantamweight, a featherweight, and even the women's title.
145, right?
Yeah.
So that's the main card.
Well,
there's more fights, but...
On fight night, we saw a lot of the super heavyweight fights, and those really aren't entertaining. Those guys,
except for Spike the Alpha Ginger. That guy was crazy.
That's fight of the night.
That was by far the fight of the night.
But he came out on he lost by decision.
Yeah.
Unanimously. Let's get to Bones.
Watch. If you haven't watched UFC, this is the time to get into it, because there's no other live sport. They're putting a lot of the young guys that want to make a name for themselves, because this is a perfect platform right now.
Is Bones Jones going to come back to give the push or the rub, as they say?
UFC doesn't work with the rub. But he wants to go up to heavyweight to fight Francis Ngannou, but he wants more money.
UFC president Dana White says it's up to light heavyweight champion John Bones Jones whether he wants to walk away from the sport. Dana White is pretty famous at just kind of tapering and giving the superstars of the sport what they want. He was pretty lenient with Brock Lesnar.
Conor McGregor, Chuck Liddell, even Tito Ortiz and him this reminds me so much of him and Tito. They went back and forth basically just like him and Jones have.
And Jones has been numerous drug violations, DUIs.
Hit and run.
Hit and run, like, you name it, he's already been he's not like he's the golden boy, but
no.
Once he gets inside that octagon, results speak for himself. And
except for the last two fights, a lot of people think he lost the last two. So he's on a decline. So I can see him wanting to make his money now and getting out as soon as possible and going up to heavyweight. Might be that ticket. Yeah, he's not 32. That old.
See, he can't seem to stay out of trouble. I think he's just like Josh Gordon, the former wide receiver for the New England Patriots. He's had chance after chance after chance, and there's a thing called talent, and if you have talent, you get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. Even people will give you another chance just to make sure that you're done, even when you are done.
Well, look at Chuck Liddell, who came back at like 50 to fight Tito Ortiz. Like, what a joke. That was dangerous.
The UFC is famous for that, whereas GSP is almost the anomaly. He's different where he kind of walked away. He's like the Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, walk away before you can't do it anymore and look terrible.
You're still putting up some of your greatest. I think he had some health problems that may have contributed to that.
It was, well, the staying up at 185 for that fight. Yeah. Oh, what is it called? I can't remember the name of the disease he got from doing that. Well, yeah. Starts with a D.
Hey, but now, I mean, they're not going to bring him back. He's in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Montreal native, GSP. So what do you think? Bones Jones, what's he going to do?
Money talks.
I think that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be until the fans come back into the stands. No. Right? You think that all these big names are going to come out?
I heard something interesting on Sirius Satellite. Apparently UFC has gone on record saying that they're not too worried about live gates because apparently that only brings in 12% of their overall revenue. So when you really think about it, that's peanuts compared to whatever else, what their sponsorship and the pay-per-view cut and everything that they get. But apparently, Livegate is only 12% of their income. Probably not with like a Jones fight or a Connor fight. Obviously, their gates are much higher. But yeah, I don't know. I just find it funny when the fighters, I think they deserve more money too. When you think about Jones, probably Jones and Connor are probably their most expensive contracts. And they make what a bare minimum NHL player would make in a year. And they only fight once a year, maybe.
So it's basically up to them to get their own sponsorship.
They can't anymore because of the Reebok deal, but that's ending soon. So I'm hoping they kind of go back to the old model where they're allowed to go out and get their own sponsors and have the sponsors on the shorts because they only get paid through sponsorship through Reebok. Well, Jones is a bit of an exception to the rule because I don't know if he still is. No, I think Nike dropped him after one of his run-ins. So they're allowed to get their own sponsors, but they can't wear them in the octagon anymore. None of them can.
What about like their own t-shirts?
Nope.
They can't sell their own gear. Because that's the merch, right?
They get a percentage, but have you ever seen the Reebok merchandise? It's garbage.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It looked very, very weird.
You and I could have the same shirt. It would just say McRae and one would say Smith on it. That's the only difference in the entire shirt.
Just to switch gears and jump ship, the WWE, that's where they make all their money is if they start selling merch. That's why like...
John Cena doesn't go heel because he's one of their higher... money makers when it comes to merchandise. New Day as well.
And that started back with Stone Cold when he was slinging Austin 316 t-shirts.
They came out with a new one every second day and people ate it up.
Yeah. Well, plus they had the major deal with Walmart.
True.
And then all of a sudden...
we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, major distributor across North America. It's just amazing. Like, no wonder Stone Cold was holding all the cards because you're in no way, shape, or form to negotiate with a man who's making 10 times his salary slinging t-shirts at Walmart. Which is amazing, Stone Cold Steve Austin in and himself. Switching to WWE, I don't think there's a Stone Cold Steve Austin in the WWE right now. Seth Rollins is trying, Becky Lynch was the closest thing, I think, that was there, and now she's pregnant. She's gone. Who's going to step up? They're giving the belt to Apollo Crews. They're doing a DUI angle with Jeff Hardy. Is this really their retaliation?
Because of AEW.
Jericho versus Mike Tyson? They're going to have AJ Styles against Otis?
I don't know.
Vince McMahon pronouns, pal.
I think they should do a Ruthless Aggression Part 2. Have him come out and say someone needs to reach the brass ring again because there's no one there. I also think they're held back and watered down because of being in the PG era. They can't do the things that they're... Like AEW, I don't know what their rating is.
The only thing I've really seen in ratings in wrestling is when they're comparing AEW to NXT.
Yeah.
And those have been close. Same. But it's not even a million. It's under a million, so...
It's like 800,000 to 600,000, so...
But that's almost... even looking at TV ratings is not... If you're still getting eyeballs in streaming and pay-per-view buys like AEW just did, I think AEW has all the momentum in the world. I typed in Chris Jericho, Mike Tyson...
And how many views? It must be huge.
I got articles from Sports Illustrated, Extra Mustard, Bleacher Report had a feature, AEW's website had a feature, and then you get all the other, you know, publishing, sports, TMZ, whatever.
I would imagine on YouTube that the video of them going back and forth must have been huge.
They got Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes cut one of the best promos I've ever seen last Wednesday.
Because they don't have writers. They don't have people saying, okay, you need to say this at this time. They're not following a script. The only guys in WWE that apparently are not on a script are like Kevin Owens.
It's old school and it's less polished. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It's 100% better.
I mean, Dean Ambrose / Jon Moxley made the choice. He was in the Shield. He's best friends with Roman Reigns and Rollins, the two 1A, 1B of the WWE. And he says, no, I hate this. I don't like being told what to do. He was given a gas mask was told that he wanted, he got a vaccination.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, that was so terrible.
It was.
It was so, because he thought it too goofy. Later, too goofy.
COVID-19 hits, the pandemic. He was just ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Healed Dean Ambrose. He would have gone over huge once the COVID-19 hit.
Yeah.
And there was nobody in the stands. He would have been happy, finally lose the gas mask. He missed his chance at the best gimmick ever.
Apparently, they offered him way more money to stay, but he just said he can't wrestle like that anymore. He hated wrestling in jeans as well.
And it wasn't about money.
No, it was about the love of the profession why a lot of them are leaving.
And the creativity, and it's interesting because his wife, Renee Young,
works for WWE still.
From Toronto, she started at Sportsnet.
Really?
She started in one of those Sportsnet like anchor searches.
Oh, yes.
And she ended up getting drafted, and then she did a wrestling show, and then she went to The Score, I think, for a little bit.
What's the one that they have on Sportsnet? It's quite good. The Aftermath. It's not bad.
Yeah.
They do their ups and downs of the week with Jimmy Corderas, the referee, Santella Murillo.
Yeah, and that's really good, and I didn't know Jimmy Corderas was the referee.
When
Owen Hart fell.
And he almost hit him. He almost landed on him.
Which, I've talked about that before, but if anybody wants to watch on Vice TV, Dark Side of the Ring, the Owen Hart story.
The last few days of Owen Hart or something like that. Something
amazing. The season 2 of Dark Side of the Ring, what they did. The Chris Benoit two-parter that they kicked off season 2 with.
Bret Hart, the Montreal Screwjob was also really, really good.
And I didn't think of this. I watched the Dino Bravo one.
I missed that one. I haven't seen it.
I loved it. And I listened to the reviews.
He's from Montreal too, isn't he?
Yeah, and the people were saying they didn't like it, but it's because 3/4 of it's in French. Because they're interviewing his widow and his daughter, and they all still live in Montreal, just off the city. So I loved it because I didn't even realize that I didn't read the subtitles. I'm just sitting there listening, watching as usual, right? And I'm like, oh, this is phenomenal. And then I was listening to, I think it was Conrad Thompson and Jim Ross, whatever. And they're like, I didn't sit there and read. Yeah. I wanted to watch a wrestling documentary. And I'm just like, oh. It's such an intriguing story about he was involved with the bikers. He was also involved in the potential mob. And then...
Wow. Okay, I have to go back and watch it because I didn't get a chance to see it.
Bootleg cigarettes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, during COVID, I got to watch a lot more wrestling documentaries. Like, I've really enjoyed... Well, I'm not in quarantine anymore because I'm back at school. But Last Ride that the WWE Network is pumping out right now with The Undertaker has been excellent. I've watched one, two. I haven't watched the third one.
I've watched three parts of it. There's two parts left. The other part comes up on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Isn't it tonight after Raw?
Yeah, it airs, but then it gets put on.
Yeah, it gets put up on, for sure.
But it's great. Mark Holloway. Tyson!
Shout out to good too. Yeah, two UFC fighters and his entourage, former bantamweight champion. Henry Cejudo just retired at his last UFC event.
Plus, he's getting paid, right? Because Tyson was talking about he wanted to fight Holyfield, and then he was going to fight Tyson Fury, a Tyson versus Tyson. Good on AEW for jumping on this chance and getting an in-shape Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Renewing a 10-year-old feud, Chris Jericho versus Tyson.
Did you understand what he was talking about?
No idea.
I had no clue, and I didn't even have a chance to go back and look at it. I imagine it's something that happened on like an anniversary show.
Yeah, and it was probably like backstage promo. Who even knows? It doesn't even matter.
Because
And the inner circle, this little, the Sammy Guevara and...
He's good. I like him.
Jake Hagar and Jericho. I mean, they're doing some of the most entertaining stuff. They've got a Festival of Friendship coming up tomorrow night. Again,
another
Wednesday.
One? Oh,
Wednesday
boy.
Night's a new Festival of Friendship.
Because they did the pep rally, right?
That's
that
right.
That was good with the little scooter and stuff.
Following the stadium stamping. Like, all this is Jericho down to a T. He's reinvented himself again as Le Champion.
He's,
he calls himself the Champion. He doesn't even have
the belt anymore.
It doesn't even matter. They realize that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what they're doing. Good on AEW.
The only part I find weird about it is that you can't judge like if a Drew McIntyre actually is resonating with fans, because they're saying, okay, when Drew comes out, you have to cheer him. Would the live crowd do the same? Like Roman, if Roman was still wrestling right now, would they just have everybody cheer him? You don't get that organic crowd reaction. You don't know if someone's over right now because there's no live fans to tell you that, yes, this guy is succeeding. Like, oh, Apollo Crews wins the title. People cheer, but they're probably told to cheer. Right, it's like a scripted audience, which is a little bit weird, especially for WWE, because I watched it more. So to me, it's a little strange.
It's also an opportunity to elevate guys that maybe wouldn't get the natural push from the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fans do come back, be over, as they say.
Yeah.
And speaking of over, that is it for the show. Very big thank you to Chris Smith. He will be back tomorrow from 11 to noon. As a very special in-studio guest, we talk softball rules and regulations coming forward this summer. The show.